Welcome to the Talking Points podcast. My name is Adrian Jackson, as always, and joined alongside David Parkinson as we reflect on what's been a fantastic year of rugby league in here in the UK. Not just only in the Super League, but in the Championship as well. I've got to say, David, what a vintage year it's been.
Oh, it's been fantastic. We've seen so many great tries, so many great memories. People will be going from this, really looking forward to next year, and obviously we've got a World Cup to look forward to as well, haven't we?
On this podcast, we're going to hear from the winning coaches from the Championship Grand Final, Ian Talbot and Mark Aston. And we'll also hear from Sean Wayne from the Super League Grand Final, winners of winning, got to do the double. And in that package as well, we'll hear from Matthew Smith, as well as Liam Farrell. Two tremendous players for the Warriors this year.
Oh, brilliant. If you'd said to me at the start of the season, would Wigan be anywhere near a title, I think I would be with the majority of journalists out there. Been saying no, they wouldn't have been anywhere near it, so it just shows how much I know, doesn't it?
A great year of rugby league. It starts off in February regarding silverware, and unfortunately for Leeds Rhinos, they were beaten by the Melbourne Storm for the World Club Challenge.
How fantastic was it though, seeing the likes of Cameron Smith coming across here, of the Billick, the Jig Slater as well, running and doing his stuff from fullback. Really, really good game as well. Big effort from Leeds, but sadly it was Melbourne Storm who were too good for our day. But it just showed as well, doesn't it? Because every time Melbourne have come over here over the last couple of years, they've taken it really, really seriously, and it seems to be something that the Aussie clubs, they want to put right, don't they, after basically letting the English clubs dominate the competition over the first 10 or 12 years of it.
It's going to be Wigan Warriors in 2014 against Sydney Roosters. That's going to be an intriguing battle next year.
Yeah, a bit of Sonny Bill Williams. I know he's just agreed a new deal, hasn't he, to stop the rugby league. And yeah, you're right. It'll be interesting to see Wigan minus a couple of their star players. Obviously, some of them you're going to talk about a little bit later on.
Just looking at the action overall in Super League, how do you feel this season's been?
I think it's been a great season. I mean, it's good to finally see Huddersfield Giants putting behind them the needle in Mentak so often underneath. Under the coaching of Nathan Brown, they were nearly there, weren't they? And they go so well for a portion of the season, and then they basically fall on the backsides over the latter part of it. They didn't do that this year. They carried on. They were very consistent throughout the season. Deservedly finished top of the league, but sadly for them, they couldn't do the business come playoff time. But I'm sure they'll learn. And Paul Anderson has got to be really happy with his first year in coaching, hasn't it?
Been a great year for coaches. You've been in their first year as a head coach, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. You've got to put me on the spot there and suggest who else has been in the first year of the coaching business, aren't you? But I suppose after a really dodgy start, Nathan Brown got his St Helens side up to fifth in the Super League, and towards the back end of the season when he started to get players back, they were starting to challenge, weren't they? And they really pushed Leeds all the way in that exciting playoff defeat that was at the Headingley Stadium.
Mentioned the progress Huddersfield have made, and what about with the Vikings bottom last year? Tremendous progress made in the second season back in the big league.
Yeah, arguably as well, but for a couple of real dodgy and close results. We could have been talking about them as a top 8 team as well, which would really have set a cat amongst the pigeons, wouldn't it? And he's certainly one in the eye for those who are suggesting about licensing, but I guess that's another debate because we're here to review, aren't we, rather than reflect as opposed to discuss the ins and outs and what flaws of what league structures should look like. But you're right, Dennis Best does deserve probably a medal, to be honest, for the way that he's galvanised that Whitney side. They're really going to push forward, I think, over the next couple of years. They've got to look at top 8 as a benchmark, and you never know, they could well do it. They've got the basis of a really good side coming in there. They're now adding a little bit of youth to those experienced heads that they've got there, and yeah, expect Whitney to be thereabouts pushing for a top 8 spot next year.
Mentioned Wigan's having a progressive year, certainly having a progressive year both on the field and off the field. Was it the Salford City Reds?
It was a laugh a minute at Salford City Reds, wasn't it? They started off in all kinds of problems, didn't they? The long-serving chairman, Mr. Wilkinson, deciding that he could no longer continue there. We had a whole raft of nights that were organised by fans looking to raise some cash because he was looking for a short stint. Like they were really going to be going out of business, which would have been an absolute travesty. And then riding over the hill on his white horse, the great Dr. Kukash. And next thing you know, things get very interesting. There's ex-Great Britain City Reds, and I think they need a bit of consolidation. They've invested heavily on next season's squad. Unfortunately, as far as this season went, whilst they were involved in a couple of the most exciting games over the course of the campaign, it wasn't one to be remembered on the field, really, was it? And I think they have got a long way to climb, but I think they will climb next year.
Can you watch him with a rough time on the field that were London Broncos, and even off the field, their future's in doubt as well?
Can we move on? I don't really know what to say, really, about London Broncos, because nobody's talking about them. The club seems to have really clamped up since the end of the season. Yeah, they were poor for huge portions of the season, but they didn't finish bottom when all said and done. They managed to find enough character and fathom enough spirit in their squad to lift them above Salford in the table. So I do think that although times are harsh and they've got a huge turnover of staff ahead of next season, you never know, and I'm just going to leave it there, I think.
We're going to talk about all the games that have been played throughout the year, because we'll be here forever. So what we've done, we've got David Parkinson to pick his six of the best.
Hello and welcome to Parky's set of six for 2013. These are the games of the season in my eyes. You'll probably disagree with them, but we'll see how we go. Game 1 happened in February, and it was Wigan against Warrington. Wigan 17, Warrington 17. Over 20,000 were at the DW Stadium to witness a titanic struggle. An early Joel Monaghan effort was cancelled out by Wigan's Josh Charnley, and the hosts moved ahead when Ben Flower went in after 22 minutes. Monaghan doubled his tally, and the Wolves were locked when Brett Hodgson couldn't goal the difficult conversion. Wigan hit the front with a Pat Richards penalty just before half-time, but a quick silver score by Richie Myler saw Warrington 16-12 ahead. A Liam Farrell try levelled matters up before Matty Smith struck a drop goal to nudge the hosts in front, but that well-known one-point expert Lee Breer struck to ensure the points were shared. The second game of the season, as far as I'm concerned, happened on the 29th of March. That's Good Friday. But it's not your usual one. No, I'm not talking about one of the big guns. I'm not talking against a Wigan against St Helens or a Hull against Hull Kingston Rovers. My eyes were firmly focused on the Salford City Stadium, where Salford upset the apple cart to beat Huddersfield 21 points to 20. Inspired by new signing Lee Gaskell, Salford took an early advantage when he sliced his way through after 5 minutes. Jody Broughton followed him up after 18 minutes. Huddersfield responded with tries from Lunt and McGilvery before the break, but sandwiched between those was an effort from Gibson, and Salford scored a crucial try just after half-time, which gave them the edge. Huddersfield fought the way back with tries through Copjack and Brough. Brough kicking two goals, Sneed kicking two goals for Salford, but an all-important drop goal 6 minutes from the end from Mark Sneed gave Salford the advantage. Game 3 of my set of 6 for games of the year happened over at the Big Fellas Stadium. It was the knockout stages of the Northern Rail Cup, 19th of May. Featherstone Rovers against Lee Centurions. The hosts, they were really fancied ahead of this one, but they hadn't banked on an emotionally charged Centurions striding out at the Big Fellas Stadium. Despite Featherstone taking an early advantage through Anthony England barging his way over for Liam Finn to convert, Lee was soon on level terms when Ryan Briley intercepted an ambitious pass over on the left-hand side of the Featherstone attack and strode 70 metres to touchdown. On the other side of the field, Featherstone again tried to get around the outside of the defence, but Martin Ridyard also intercepted and went 70 metres to touchdown. That saw the Centurions 10 points to 6 up before Andy Bostock charged his way through with his first touch. That was converted to give Featherstone the narrowest of advantages, 12 points to 10. On the half hour mark, Matt Gardner scored a try from the base of a scrum, just brushing his way through a couple of tackles, and Ridyard's conversion earned the Centurions a 16 points to 12 half-time advantage. The second half was siege stuff. Really powerful defence from both teams, Lee eventually winning through with an important score after 77 minutes, Johnny Pownall intercepting and going over half the length of the field, Martin Ridyard converting, and the Centurions were home and hosed 22 points to 12. I'll now turn my attentions to July and the first showpiece occasion of the season, London Scholars meeting the North Wales Crusaders. Northern Rail Bowl was up for grabs, and it was the Crusaders who ended up coming from behind to win it. It was 16 all at half time, and very little to choose between London Scholars and the Crusaders. Johnson went over for the opening score after 13 minutes. Delapi followed him for the Scholars to level things up. And when Rowitz got in on the app for the Crusaders, it looked like it was going to be a big victory for the Welsh side at that point. Andy Mulsdale went over 2 minutes before the half-hour mark, but Robinson responded spiritedly, and former Lee and Bradford forward Michael Warinsi, he went over 6 minutes before the break. That tied things up, with Ski kicking 2 goals in the first half, Johnson kicking 2 goals for the Crusaders in the first half. It ebbed and flowed for 12 minutes of the second half before Middlehurst split the defence and went through. Then an all-important substitution came the way of the Crusaders. Dave McConnell going back onto the field, and he was so influential during the final quarter, scoring 2 tries and setting one up. Massam and Burkitt, the other scorers for the Crusaders. All that came in response from the Scholars was a solitary second half effort from Wellins that was converted by Ski. It finished London Scholars 24, North Wales Crusaders 42. The Challenge Cup semi-finals are the destination for my 5th of 6. When Hull emerged victorious against Warrington, there was little between these two sides when they'd met in the Super League, with Hull winning on that occasion, and Warrington fancied the chances after taking an early advantage through Monaghan going in at the corner after just 6 minutes. The Wolves were on top early on, and when Trent Waterhouse went over after 12 minutes, they deservedly led by 8-0. That's not a winning advantage, however, and Hull roared back. They scored a length of the field effort through Tom Lynham after 17 minutes, and then long-serving Richard Whiting finished off a fine movement with Tickle kicking a goal to nudge Hull in front at half-time by 10-8. The crucial try came 10 minutes inside the second half through Aaron Hurramaya, who danced his way through. That was also converted by Tickle for 16-8. And although Warrington laid siege to the Hull line over the last 15 minutes, all they had in response was a try from Ben Curry. And it was Hull who went on to Wembley. The 6th game of my set of 6 came at the Halliwell Jones Stadium, when local rivals Warrington clashed against Widnes Vikings late in the Super League season. Warrington had opened the scoring when Simon Grix went over the line after 16 minutes. That was converted by Stefan Ratchford for an early 6-0 advantage. Widnes struck back with a try on the half-hour mark through Jack Owens, but all hell broke loose just before half-time, where Widnes forward Cahill was dismissed for a high challenge on Brett Hodgson. The former New South Wales man had to be led from the field and played no further part in proceedings. Yet this strangely galvanised Widnes, and in the second half they tackled like men possessed. Patrick Arvan going over the line after 55 minutes. He was followed after 61 minutes by a brilliant solo effort from Jack Owens. Owens converted 2 of the tries, and Widnes won by 16-6.
The list of winners of the trophies that were on offer regarding the World Cup. week here in the UK. Well, the Northern Rail Bowl winners with the Crusaders, first ever winners of that new trophy. And Northern Rail Cup winners with Lee Centurions, like David mentioned. Challenge Cup winners with Wigan Warriors, the World Cup Challenge you've already mentioned, it was Melbourne Storm. In the League Championship, one winners were the Crusaders. Championship League leaders were the Feversham Rovers. Super League League leaders were Huddersfield. And in the playoffs, it was Rochdale, Sheffield and Wigan who got the hands on the most important trophies of the season.
Tell you what, if you wanted to polish that lot, you'd need a heck of a lot of silverware polish, wouldn't you? There's some great games and some great teams. And like I said before, lots of memories created. I mean, particularly for the Crusaders, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, they were really on the bones of the backside, where they were falling out of Super League. No one knew what was going to be happening there. Clive Griffiths and his team have gone in there, they built a side from nothing. A lot of it has been done on the basis of local players and players who are travelling from not that far away, and they've done it. I mentioned in the roundup of the Northern Rail Bowl final, Dave McConnell, he's one of the guys who's calling it quits at the end of this season. He's been fantastic for them over the last 18 months or so, a real go-to man for them, and just helped to guide them around the field, and it'll be a great shame that they've got Olga replacing that sort of experience next year in the Championship.
One player that excited me playing for the Crusaders was my old mate John O'Smith.
Oh, John O'Smith, the cannonball, fantastic. He's as big as he is broad, isn't he? And he scores lots of tries, creates lots with his general footwork. You look at him, he's the most unlikely looking professional rugby league player that's ever been. But what a fantastic player, what a great guy as well, and what a great story, because he's come from Wolston to step up into the professional ranks at a fairly late age. I think he's about 26, 27 now. A lot of professional clubs would have given him the once over and thought, nah, we don't want that. But, you know, Crusaders took a punt and he's backed it 100%, and I'm really pleased to see him going all the way and picking up the Championship One Player of the Season.
You mentioned the fact John Austin won the Championship One Player of the Year in the version of the Man of Steel Award. Let's give the rest of the winners from that evening within the Championship. Championship Player of the Year was Mitch Stringer. Championship Young Player of the Year was Ryan Briley for the Centurions. Championship Coach of the Year was Tony Miller at Doncaster. Championship One Player, Roddy Mention, was John Osmond for the Crusaders. Championship One Young Player of the Year was Tyler Heppy for the Gloucestershire All Golds. Championship One Coach of the Year was Clive Griffiths. The Northern Star winner was Andy Jordan for the Batley Bulldogs. The Referee of the Year was Chris Neverbarrow. In the Club of the Year award today, it was Halifax who got the Championship Award, and North Wales Crusaders got the Championship One honour.
Yeah, so interesting awards there. I think certainly the Championship Player of the Year is a bit of a contentious one, I suppose, this year. It's been looked at very differently, because in the past, every player in the Championship and Championship One has had a vote to go with it, but this year it's been a sponsored award, so the coaches have picked it, and they've been their top five out of every single performance. So it's interesting to note that Mitch Stringer got top of the tree. Not that I'm disagreeing with it too much, he's a fantastic forward, been a great servant to Sheffield Eagles over the years, and obviously with the way that Sheffield stormed to yet another playoff victory, he shows how important he is. Ryan Briley, he's been amongst the tries for the last couple of years, really, at Leeds Centurions, a young player that's really developing. The one that I was really pleased to hear about was Tony Miller, because in one guise or another, he's got 25 years of his life invested over there at Doncaster. Although he steps down now as coach at Doncaster, he's left a bit of a legacy, and there's plenty to be built on down there at the Keep Mall.
At the end of every season, we have the dream team for Super League. We also have the All-Stars from the Championship and Championship One. So let's give you a rundown of those players on those teams. And first of all, David, you've got the dream team.
Yeah, we've got Sam Tompkins at fullback, the two wingers, Josh Charnley and Tom Wynham. In at centres are Ben Crooks and Leroy Cudjoe. Halfbacks, Matty Smith is at scrum half, Danny Bruff is at standoff. It's a front row of Earl Crabtree and Jamie Peacock, and in the middle of those two lovely big gentlemen, Sean Lunt. It's a back row of Danny Kerman, who I think has been really deserving of that. I think he's been really, really good for Wakefield, alongside Brett Ferris. And Sean O'Loughlin, a bit of a strange pick at loose forward. He's only played in about half of Wigan's games this season.
Great player though, and he's the man that Wigan always look forward to for a bit of inspiration as well. a fair inclusion, to say the least. And for the first time in its history, in Team Concept was put together in Super League, it's an all-English affair.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, that, isn't it? Perhaps it's showing where the strength of Super League should lie, rather than looking abroad, like a lot of teams tend to do, not pointing at anybody in particular, London Broncos. No, I'll take that back. I think that it probably does point more or less to the strength of Super League. I think there is a couple of players who have been quite lucky to get selected this year. Leroy Cudjoe, for example, there's probably two or three centres that are a bit more prolific than he is over the course of the season. Was Ryan Atkins, in fact, come and think of it. There's very little Warrington representation in there, which I'm surprised about.
I think everybody else was as well, including Tony Smith, but that's for another time to discuss. Let's give you the lineups in the All-Stars for the Championship there, all started. At fullback was Quinton, while Tommy Beneficial for the Eagles. On the wings, it was Greg Johnson for Batley Bulldogs and Will Sharp for Featherstone Rovers. Centres were Stuart Littler and Lee and Menzi Yeary from the Sheffield Eagles. Halfbacks, Paul Cook for Doncaster and Liam Finn at Featherstone Rovers. It was a front row, Mitch Stringer from the Eagles. Bob Bezek at hooker for the Centurions. Steve Crossley from Featherstone. Wearing number 10 in the back row was Liam Harrison from the Barrow Raiders. James Lockwood from Featherstone Rovers. And completing the All-Stars was Kyle Ostrom from Workington Town. Plenty of talented players, but looking at those 13, do you think anyone first thing can step up into Super League?
I think some of them have already been there, haven't they? You know, the likes of Stuart Littler spent a good 10 years over at Salford. Will Sharp also had a dabble, didn't he, with London Broncos and then at Hull. Paul Cook as well, he had a lengthy Super League spell. Mitch Stringer also had a bit of a stint in Super League. I think Bob Petty right at the start of his career. Looking at that lot, I would say, players who you're looking and expecting to step up into Super League, Greg Johnson, that league signed for Salford next season, so I do expect him to go very well. He's a really exciting runner, scores plenty of tries and basically comes up with some breaks from nothing over the course of the season. Cal Ulstrom is a real workhorse at loose ball, and I'm really pleased for Workington that they've been able to get a player in that lineup.
Here's the Championship 1 All-Star team. It was Richard Lepore at fullback from Northern, Dalton Grant and Rob Masson from the South Wales Scorpions and North Wales Crusaders took up the wing positions. In the centres, it was John Ford for Oldham and the fantastically named Mason Caton Brown from the Hemel Stags in the centres. Halfbacks were Andy Moosdale from the North Wales Crusaders alongside Dylan Ski for the London Scholars. It was a front runner, Rob Thomas from the Scholars, Dave McConnell from the Crusaders and Warren Thompson from Rochdale Hornets. And second row was Tyler Heppy from the Gloucestershire All Golds, Gary Midlers from North Wales Crusaders, and at number 13, my old mate John O'Smith.
Again, a cracking team name, to be honest. Lepore is really settled into his role there at Oldham. Dalton Grant, although there's not much of him, he's a pretty exciting one. John Ford has scored tries for fun over at Oldham this season. He's been a player who's been on dual contract mainly from Salford, so I do wonder whether he'll step up into Super League next season. As you mentioned, there's not many double barrel names in rugby league, so Mason Caton Brown, what a brilliant name that is, and you know, solid player. Dylan Ski for me is a player who could easily step up a couple of levels playing for the London Scholars. We already talked about Dave McConnell and John O'Smith, but Gary Middles was another one of those players, was picked up by Widnes as a kid and then released back to the amateur game. He's had to build and build over the last few years, and finally he's got a chance of being a pro, and he's grabbed it with both hands. So yeah, really pleased with that team, actually. I think it's very reflective again of the talent and excitement level that he's created from the Championship 1 competition.
Well, the season of things is all about the playoffs, and for the Championship and Championship 1 clubs, it was all about mission. The Sports Village for the Grand Finals Day to take place in 2013, and the winners on the day, the Rochdale Hornets, who defeated Oldham in a tremendous game of rugby league, and Sheffield Eagles backed up 2012's win against Featherstone Rovers with a great comeback against Batley Bulldogs. Before we reflect on the game, let's hear from the winning coaches, is Ian Talbot from Rochdale Hornets and Mark Aston. Ian Talbot, Grand Final wins in the Championship, what, how's that feel?
Oh, fantastic feeling. You know, it makes me proud of every lad that's out there. Not just the lads that have played, all the squad comes throughout the season. It's just immense pride feeling for them.
A even Sweden, no, you've done it in a local derby as well.
Local derby, yeah, there's a lot of local rivalry. We have two traditional clubs in Rochdale and Oldham. I think that makes it 3-3 over the season in six games, but we've won the ones that matter, haven't we? We've won the two playoff games. You know, I'm sure they'd swap the local up, the pre-season fairly flat, so we've got there and our mantelpiece.
During the 8 minutes, how do you feel your guys went?
We knew it was going to be tough. We knew it was going to be a battle, and I don't think the scoreline reflected how tough. You know, I just think they were on it a steam at the end, and we got a couple of tries at right at the death. But a false reflection on the scoreline, it was immensely tough, wasn't it? But 100% were deserved winners in my eyes. You know, we stuck to the plan, and we dominated at times, and we knew Oldham would come out after half time and let the traditionally do and throw everything at us, and they came with a try. And we spoke about just staying with them in that period because we know we'd come good, and we did in the end, didn't we?
It was a local derby that gave the final bit of extra spice.
Oh, definitely. It's the bragging rights, isn't it? You know, the Wigan Saints derbies, the Leeds Bradford, the whole derbies. I know that's not quite up there, but it means as much to the Rochdale and all the fans as the major Super League derbies as to their fans.
Great team effort, Brian. They've always got to have one man who's going to get the man of the match. Paul Crook fully deserved it.
Oh, fantastic, hasn't he? He's been awesome throughout the playoffs, you know. The tough battle we had against London Scholars, and he kicks a penalty from inside our own half to win the game. And the tough battle we then had at White Bank, and last week got goal there. And then again today, he's just tormented them with his kicking game, hasn't he? You know, Scott Naylor, a lot of respect for Scott. He's done a fantastic job there at Oldham. He's had to build the squad similar to what I have. And neither of us have received any accolades this season, more so Scott. You know, he's a fantastic coach, and I wish him well for next season.
Mark, after Championship Grand Final winners, and it's history being made.
It is, and I'm immensely proud of the group of people, the players that have been outstanding for not only this year, last year, and actually the year before. It's the third Grand Final, isn't it? And we, you know, made history by going back to back, and they set themselves an objective and a target and a goal to be the first team to go back to back. And you know, there were times in that game we thought there's absolutely no chance of that happening, but credit to them. I think Mitch has got them really, really tightly knit with Mr. Talapapa as his vice captain, and they've guided him through. It wasn't great the first 40 minutes. I thought Bally was outstanding. They run at 90% ball control. The second half, we run at 96%. You know, we only failed in one set of six, and that's probably what turned the game. But it was a cracking game, and I would imagine for spectators, it was a thrilling game and an entertaining game. But for me as a coach, out of time material, isn't it?
Certainly, the guys have struggled with a character to stay on the coattails of Bally at times.
Yeah, and you know, John prepared them outstanding, which he does, and that's what he does in finals, and he did that for us in '98, didn't he? And he's done exactly the same job on them today, and you know, respect to them, but we just got that little bit extra. I thought, you know, the try that Q scored was pretty special. You know, the kick that Pice did and Scotty Turner scored was pretty special. So, you know, we didn't stick to the game plan until the last 30 minutes, but the last 30 minutes, I thought we were outstanding.
So you went up and scored four tries and Bally had no answer to it?
No, and I can do, and, you know, and that's what I say, you know, when you've got Menzieri and you've got QLT, is, you know, they've scored over 80 tries between them, and Menzieri's got 46, Q's got 36, so, you know, we're lucky and we're privileged to have them sort of people within the squad, but a lot of hard work, wasn't there? People like Peter Green, Eddie Batty, Mitchell Stringer, Alex Soshek were all pivotal to the success of the group, and I thought that you know, there were times that a lot of teams might have folded. We didn't. We held this nerve, and at half time people said, what did you say to them at half time? I said, look, hey, let's go back, let's get back in the game, let's go to the game plan, let's be composed. We've got to go for the 80 minutes because that's what Bally do, and we did, and that's why we got the result at the end.
Match
full deserved. I thought there were a lot of people, you know, I thought the 40-20 that Dom did was probably the turning point of the game. I don't think he had his best game. I thought Missy Talapapa were outstanding. I thought Mitchell Singer were outstanding. So, you know, did he just deserve it? Well, it doesn't matter. You know, he's got it, and we're just elated that we got the back-to-back result. We can, you know, spring and keep going and win the game.
Just looking at the game last year and this one today, which one's more satisfying?
They're both. Yeah. Playing in finals is all about winning. This year, we went to the Northern Rail and got that bitter taste of getting beat by Lee after being in a position to win the game. So it's not nice to go to finals alone. So they're always important as the last one. And Yeah, we made this thing, we're the first team to go back to back, but you know, this year's only as sweet as last year's, and hopefully next year will be even sweeter.
Ending to the season,
well done. It is, you know, we've played 38 games, and when we sat down at the beginning of the season, we could have potentially, the maximum games we could have played were 40 games, and we've played 38, so the only two games that we haven't played in is the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup and the finals. So we've had a great year, and I'm immensely proud of not only the players, the backroom staff, the coaching staff, Dave Lyard, especially mentioned, Andrew Henderson, who's done a bit of play, obviously playing a lot, but he's done a bit of coaching for us, but the directors and the supporters and the fans and the sponsors. So it's a club, what it's always been, and we're all in this together, and you know, we all get the same satisfaction. We'll go back tonight to a grand final party, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people there, and there might be one or two beers.
Ian Talbot, 13, is the head coach, comes up with a major on for the Rochdale Hornets, their first trophy in 90-odd years.
Yeah, this is that other first team, first year coach that you were saying about, wasn't it, before? Yeah, they're a great club, Rochdale Hornets. I do really think that the fans have seen thinner and thinner there, haven't they? The fact that is the only the second major final in the last 23 years speaks volumes. As you mentioned, the Rochdale lifted a trophy for 92 years, so it's been a long time between drinks if you're a Hornets fan, isn't it? But looking forward to the future, the run by the fans, for the fans, is that a way to go? It certainly beats having to find a very rich owner to keep things ticking over if you've got the fans chipping in. I'm really pleased for Rochdale Hornets. I think they're a really good team, and I hope they go well in the championship next season. Sheffield, well, it's been a case of they did it last year, let's go back and do it again. They had to do it the tough way, didn't they, against Batley, who really did throw everything at them, perhaps played 45 minutes of perfect finals rugby league, but you've got to extend that to 60, 70, even 80 minutes against the team like Sheffield Eagles. They've got match winners all across the field. Two of them were named in the All-Stars team in Lutonga Guy and Menzi Yeary. I noticed Yeary scored about 45 tries this season, so you know, he's been virtually unstoppable at championship level, and very much deserved. I think for the bulk of the season, they've been by far the best team.
In Super League, it's all about Old Trafford and who was going to get there. As it was Wigan versus Warrington.
Yeah, we get to this time of year, and sort of September, and we start looking for Leeds to play the best rugby, don't we? And for a time, it was looking like they were going to do that, but ultimately, Wigan deserve to get there. Warrington deserve to get there, and what a final we were treated to.
Okay, before we move on, let's hear from the winner, shall we? Here's Matty Smith, Liam Farrell, and the winning coach, Sean Wayne.
Liam Farrell, to make the sense of the season, Wigan Warriors get their hands on the grand final trophy, how does that feel for you?
It's not sacking at all yet. It might take a week or so before we know it really is, and I think it's just a fitting ending for this club this year. With the players will be, it's just right for them to get what they deserve, and they've got it.
Looking at the final, there's a whole lot of feeling
went
for the full
8. To be honest, I thought we would have been a better at half-time, 16-2 against Warrington. Quality team, they know how to finish games off, but we come out in the second half, we play well, we got 28 maximum points, and that takes some doing against Warrington, it really does.
What was your moment to score before the half-time break? How crucial was it to score first in the second half, though?
Like you said, the one before half-time, how crucial for us. That was a massive point for us, and to get it just after half-time, that gave us a building block for the rest of the game, and it really was massive for us, and then obviously to finish the game off, and just keep completing our sets, and get them in there, and end with it. Kicking everyone out, it was outstanding for us, it really was.
You made a documentary about the guys who were leaving, so I suppose it's a perfect leaving present for them.
It is, we spoke about it since the playoffs started. We wanted to give them the best ending to their careers at Wigan that we could. And we've done it, we've done everything we could possibly do to do it. Now they're going to get the send off they deserve in a couple of days where they can enjoy everything and take care of the new. No better way to send Sam, Paddy, Juice, and Gospel. Yeah.
Matty Smith, you talked about it before the playoffs that the Warriors wanted to do the double and you've achieved that. How does it feel?
Yeah, it feels amazing. Not many teams have achieved the double, to do with this group of players is fantastic. And made up tonight. We got through a point there where they were rolling us a little bit, and we had to defend a little bit better, and we did that second half, and we put a few points on ourselves.
It's been a difference. What's between yourselves and Warrington tonight?
I think our defence. Our defence was fantastic second half. We stopped their goal forward. I know they got a few injuries, but we really stopped the goal forward, and we stood up in defence, and And we put our players on off the back of that. We knew we had points in us, and you know, we did that, and it was fantastic, fantastic win for us.
Great man of the match, and you seem to link up rather well with him.
Yeah, he really deserves his man of the match work. He's been fantastic all year. In big games as well, he's played really, really well, and he's really helped me as well, and I'm made up for him. But yeah, I'm enjoying playing with him. It's fantastic, and we've had a lot of criticism this year, but you know, we keep proving them wrong, don't we? You know, we've won the double. Like I said, not many teams get to do that.
What had to be said at half-time? What had to be said at half-time?
Sean was really good. He just you know, he was really calm. You know, everyone was really calm. I think we knew that we had points in us, like I was just saying. But we knew we needed to tweak a little few things, and that was in our defence. And I think we did that second half, and so I could see the point. Second half was pretty good against a good Warrington side.
At what point during that game do you think this is going to be a night?
You know, I think that, you know, in the game, I mean, I think when we scored that last try, we knew we had it with 5 minutes to go. And, but, you know, you just want to play the full 80, and, you know, it's never won against a side like Warrington. You know, they can score two tries in 2 minutes, so, you know, we've got to be always on our toes, and we were today in that second half, and we played really well.
Yeah, very, very pleasing, and it's very pleasing to put it out really wrong. We've been doing it all year from start to finish. Pre-season to the last game, the doctor was this week, the doctor in the pre-season, and it's satisfying to prove everything wrong. The doctor is great, one from full spot, you meet first, you meet third, and you've talked to the second, and the behind. Yeah, and I hope people are giving them a bit of respect, and some of the things what we've said about it this year have been way too honourable. You know, it's very satisfying for us in the club to turn up and play the way we did to get a win like that. It's no matter the way we did it, we weren't great in the first half, but we're starting to fix it in the second half.
It's crucial that so Dad will be only in charges before that. You got a bit of momentum, but you needed that try, perhaps.
Yeah, well, I think we bombed three tries down his edge beforehand. Yeah, kicks a simple catch and pass with that, we scored, you know, so I knew we could get on. So I weren't stressed. I was just disappointed with it, you know, a few things. And the players have been absolutely bang on. They've listened to everything we said, and they've delivered and trusted us. So that's been the most satisfying thing all year. We really get club again. So, yeah, it's great that our team, what they did, you know, it's like standing and doing two trophies for his fourth, you know, and understand this, that twice this year we've had two horrendous injury crises. It were 4 or 5 weeks, we've lost 8, 9, 10 first team players and reloaded the pump. So, you know, and still people ratted off that we can't win games and looking for faults, and it's just satisfying that we can prove people wrong.
One question for me, Sean, you've done it as an assistant coach, we've won the Michael Maguire. How does it feel to have achieved it as a head coach now, best?
The best. This is outstanding to do the double, and this is not easy to do because the Challenge Cup comes so quick, you know, before the Grand Final, so to do that was outstanding. Great effort from us.
Great effort from the fans to turn out the numbers are good as well.
Yeah, obviously, you know, a new old base to sell it, and great, you know, for the players to respond the way they did. I can't tell you how happy I am with everything.
Great match and well done, a great season for us.
Thank you very much, appreciate that.
The Sean Way, a special moment for him being a Wigan
born
player.
Yeah, I think that certainly he's had to build this Wigan squad up, hasn't he? And they were very unfancy for much of the season, despite actually for a long spell sitting at the top of the league, because at one point between sort of May and July they looked unbeatable, didn't they? And then they qualified for Wembley and a few collie wobbles in the league, and everybody was starting to doubt them again, but they got the form where it mattered. Sean Wayne, he's a tough disciplinarian, but he's also a very smart rugby league coach as well, and he's got the best of his players there. He's also got Justin Harris working alongside him, who I think deserves some credit into all of this. And Wigan, as you mentioned, they've built for this one, and I've earned it.
In farewell to a rugby league career forever. Saying goodbye to the rugby boots are Paul Prescott, Ben Cross, Matt Bryan, Chad Randall, Ben Galea, Stuart Fielding, Steve Menzies, and Sean Briscoe. One that stands out for me is Steve Menzies. What a tremendous player he's been.
Oh, Menzies has been one of my favourite players for as long as I can remember, since you know, virtually starting watching rugby league back in the early 90s. What a superb player, great athlete. The fact that he went to play for the Exiles this year almost at the age of 40 suggests that he's been a real athlete, and to be honest, why is he retiring? He could go on for years. Yeah, he could do. I will talk to him personally myself and see if I can persuade him to come out of retirement. I don't think he's for budging though.
He's had a great career. Sadly, the back end of it, he's going to be remembered for injuries.
Yeah, it's unfortunate really for Stuart Fielding.
5-6 years, he was one of the most feared forwards around Super League. The fact that Wigan paid a world record transfer fee to secure his services, and the fact as well that Fielden managed to pick himself up, his form, and lead Wigan away from the relegation zone as it was then to the edge of playoff glory. You know, fantastic player, like you said, but sadly he will be remembered perhaps unfairly for the number of injuries that he sustained over the last 2 or 3 years, but nice to see him going out on a high with Huddersfield, and he's not lost in the game altogether, like you may have alluded to, you know, players packing in rugby league because he's joined the coaching staff at Huddersfield, where he's sure to have a great input on many of the young players coming through there.
Sadly, you'd be terrible injuries of injuries. Paul Prescott, he's had a horrid time, hasn't he?
Yes, yeah, I remember seeing Paul as a young player coming through at Wigan, and then again, he was put on loan to Lee Centurions back in 2006. Was always one of those players, very unheralded, got on with his work, ended up with quite a good career record over there at Wigan, but as you mentioned, got by injuries over the last couple of years, and probably the wisest decision that he'll make, to be fair. But again, he'll be a big loss to rugby league.
So on that note, David, that's us done for another season, but we're not going away forever. We're going to be back in a few weeks for the start of the rugby league.